power to work right, don't we? And we need especially, brothers and sisters, the power of the Holy Spirit in order to benefit from our study together of God's Word, don't we? I know that I need that Spirit in a special way, as I have the privilege and the frightening responsibility of breaking the bread of life, sharing with you truth that has the potential to change life, to sanctify, to set free from our natural bondage to sin, self, and Satan. It's a tremendous privilege, but equal to the privilege is the responsibility, and I need God's Spirit in a special way, and you need God's Spirit in a special way as well. Because we're talking about something these Sabbath hours that is naturally unpopular. We're talking about health reform. We're talking about principles that have to do with the care of our body temple. And since we are all by nature prone to be self-indulgent, we're not really comfortable with the implications of a message that has to do with health reform. What are the implications? The implications are that there are certain things that need to be changed in our lifestyle in order for us to enjoy optimum personal health. But oftentimes, the self-denial required is thought of as too great a price to pay. But brothers and sisters, that's carnal reasoning. Please don't listen to the voice of the old man. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. If God asks you to give anything up, it's because it's doing you what? It's doing you harm. And if He asks you to include anything in your dietary or in your lifestyle, it's so that you may enjoy optimum personal health. Health and happiness, the abundant life. But in order to have that right attitude, we must have the still small voice of God's Spirit speaking to our hearts and minds. So before we proceed with part two of our study, apologies to those of you who weren't here last night. This is part two. We laid the foundation last night. Some of you were here. Yes, many of you were here. For those of you who weren't here, we'll try to just recap briefly some of the key points. But again, we're going to take the time to start with to invite God's Spirit to be with us in a special way. Would you kneel with me for a few moments of silent prayer to that end? Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to come apart to a quiet place for the purpose of studying your word, your will for our lives. However, we have gathered in vain unless you come and join us in the person of your Spirit. So I pray, Lord, that you would be gracious to us just now and pour out that Spirit upon us, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of discernment, the Spirit of wisdom. Spiritual things are only spiritually discerned. The carnal man may give intellectual assent to the truth, but can't possibly come to appreciate and value and eagerly accept the truth. And we want more than just an intellectual knowledge of the principles that we're going to study this morning. We want a life-changing knowledge. So please, Lord, give us the right attitude. As we consider these things, help us to recognize that as we submit to your will, though it may require self-denial, it is only for our present and eternal good. Lord, may we come with David to say, "How love I thy law," because we recognize it as our protection and as that which promotes total health in our being. As we learn your requirements and in your strength, bring our lives into harmony with them. Oh, Father, we need to be the head, not the tail. We need as a people to be shining examples of the benefits of living in harmony with your law, that others might be attracted to accept your lordship and your law as well. By the joy and the peace and the health and the happiness that we manifest in our lives. Lord, help us to be such a people. To that end, send your Spirit to be with us in a special way as we study principles of personal health care. This is our prayer in Jesus' name, and for his sake we ask it. Amen. The title of our series is Restoration of the Whole Man, God's Plan for Total Health. Our first presentation last night was part one of a two-part series entitled None of These Diseases. Today, this morning, we're dealing with part two. We used, as an outline for our entire series, a paragraph taken from Healthful Living, page 19. Let me review that paragraph with you. It'll give you an outline of where we're headed, and it will recap where we've been. I quote, "It is the duty of every person to become intelligent in regard to disease and its causes." That's our project for the two studies that we're presently in. To become intelligent regarding disease and its causes. Last night, we took a close look at the causes of disease. Today, this morning, we need to take a close look at what disease is. There's much that we need to learn. Every person needs to become intelligent in regard to disease and its causes. There is a surprising amount of ignorance in this area. Secondly, and as the day progresses, I read on. The purpose of our seminar is to help us do this. I quote, "You must study your Bible in order to understand the value that the Lord places on those whom Christ has purchased at such an infinite price." Only as we come to understand the value that the Lord has placed upon us, and that is perceived at the foot of the cross, where he purchased our bodies with his own life's blood. Only as we recognize the value that he places upon us will we have a proper motivation to care for that body that is not our own, but that has been bought with a price, that is to be the temple of God to bring glory to his name. And then, this afternoon, we will deal in our final two studies with this third portion of the paragraph. Healthful Living, page 19 still. Then you should become acquainted with the laws of life, that every action of the human agent may be in perfect harmony with the laws of God, end quote. That's quite an undertaking, more than we should probably try to tackle. But may the Lord help us at least touch on the key points here. A quick review of what we studied last night. We tried to come to grips with the cause of disease. Our key text was Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. You recall that promise, don't you? It's from this text that we have taken the title of our series. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, if you do those things, condition, what is God's promise? I will put what? None of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." God is our Savior. He is our healer. Salvation and healing are actually very intimately, inseparably related to each other. In fact, the very word salvation is the same word in Scripture that's used for healing. God promises to heal us, but what is the condition? Obedience. Obedience is the condition. Now, we noted last night that though Scripture says that the Lord will put none of these diseases on us, we came to the conclusion that even when disease are brought upon the disobedience, it is not in a direct sense God who does it. Who is the originator of disease? Is it God? No, it is Satan. Does God inflict disease upon the disobedient? No. The disobedient inflict disease upon themselves by their own disobedience. How then can Scripture say, which it does, that God will put disease or God will not put disease? In what sense does Scripture say that? In the sense that God has established cause-effect relationships. And there is a cause-effect relationship between disease and disobedience. Note with me, Healthful Living, page 60. Satan is the originator of disease. There is a divinely appointed, please note, who appointed it? God did. There is a divinely appointed connection between sin and disease. Sin and disease bear to each other the relationship of cause and effect. Now, since God is the one that has divinely appointed the law of cause and effect, Scripture can say that God puts disease. But please recognize, the direct cause of the disease that comes upon anyone is not God, it is our own personal disobedience, disregard of the laws of health. That's a key point that we sought to establish last night. Healthful Living, page 24. Every misuse of any part of our organism is a violation of the law which God designed shall govern us in these matters. And by violating this law, human beings corrupt themselves. Sickness, disease of every kind, ruined constitutions, premature decay, untimely deaths, these are the result of violation of nature's laws. Now, we noted last night that that violation may not even be our own. It may be the violation of our parents that have terribly disadvantaged us, or the violations of those living within our environment. Those can have factors. But still, disobedience is the cause of disease, even if it isn't your own personal disobedience. This cause-effect relationship is stated very clearly in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, isn't it? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow unto the flesh, in other words, if we yield to the depraved, perverted, carnal appetites and passions of the lower fallen nature, if we sow unto the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. That's precisely what this principle is all about. But, praise God, there's an alternative. If we sow unto the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap what? Eternal life. We will of the Spirit reap eternal life. Joseph Califano, former Secretary of Health and Welfare, sums up our principle very concisely. I quote, "I can compress what we have learned about the causes of modern killer diseases into one sentence. We are killing ourselves with our own bad habits." End quote. All the latest scientific research, brothers and sisters, remarkably verifies this truth that we've had in Scripture and in the spirit of prophecy for many, many years. Testimonies, Volume 3, page 164. Sickness is caused by violating the laws of health. It is the result of violating nature's laws. And violation of nature's laws is violation of God's law. Because who is the author of the laws of nature? God is. And transgression of the laws of nature is sin, brothers and sisters. It is sin. This is why Jesus said when he healed, "Go and what? Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." It is our own rebellion against the laws of our being, sin, that brings disease upon us. That's why the master physician, when he healed, exhorted his patients, to change their lifestyle, to cease transgressing the laws of their being that caused them to be sick. We noted last night as well, by reading a presentation made by Paul Harvey. You recall that? Where he made some remarkable statements about Ellen White, pointing out that her counsels, her advice written over 100 years ago, are constantly being validated by the latest scientific research. And then going on to point out how Adventists who, at least those who choose to comply with that counsel, are significantly advantaged. Referring to an epidemiological study done in California, where it was concluded scientifically that Seventh-day Adventists, on account of their lifestyle, enjoy 5 to 6 more years of life than the average Californian. And you know, there's been a tendency for us to tout that a bit, pat ourselves on the back. But brothers and sisters, I insist that that's not something to be proud of. In fact, I think that that's something that we ought to be ashamed of. 5 to 6 more years. You know what it ought to be? It ought to be 20 to 25 more years. God forgive us. Adventists ought to be dying of a very rare cause. And that's what? Old age. Almost no one dies of old age anymore. Almost no one dies of old age anymore. We die because of abuse of our physical organism. And some vital capacity, some vital organ just cannot hold up under the onslaught, and it quits, and we die before our time. Premature death. Paul Harvey went on to point out that in a whole number of diseases, particularly those which plague modern man in Western society, Adventists enjoy a significantly less percentage rate of mortality due to these various causes. But we ought to enjoy 100% less, shouldn't we? What did God promise? I will put what? None of these diseases. None of these diseases. Adventists ought not to be dying of diseases. They ought to be dying only of old age. I say that on the authority of God's word. And we established that very clearly last night. I don't have time to do it again. Healthful Living, page 30. A careful conformity to the laws of God, to the laws God has implanted in our being, will ensure health, and there will not be a breaking down of the Constitution. Oh, that we would heed the counsel. Just as disease is caused by transgression of God's laws, laws of our physical being, so health is the direct result of obedience. Ministry of Healing, page 128. We cannot be too often reminded that health does not depend on chance. Health does not depend on chance. What does it depend on? I read on. It is a result of obedience to law. That's the point that we sought to establish last night, just in a recap. Now, this morning, we need to consider together what disease is. Remember, we're exhorted. We are to become, it is the duty of every person to become intelligent in regard to disease and its causes. We have become intelligent regarding its causes. Now let's become intelligent regarding disease. What is disease? What is disease? Well, the word itself helps us towards a definition. Dis, a prefix meaning lack of. Ease, comfort, well-being. Disease is a lack of comfort, well-being, a want of wellness, if you like. But as uncomfortable as disease is it a bad thing or a good thing? Is it our enemy or friend? Is it working against us or for us? You know, brothers and sisters, there are some serious misconceptions regarding what disease is. Disease, I submit, is not that which robs us of our health. So many think that disease is what robs them of their health. Is it disease? No, it's disobedience. That's what robs them of their health. Disease, most emphatically, is not that which robs us of our health, nor is disease the enemy, just the opposite. Disease is the body's valiant effort to restore us to health. Disease is not our enemy, but it is, in a very real sense, our friend, though granted one in whose presence we are very uncomfortable. The robber of health is not disease, it's disobedience. Listen, and try to grasp this understanding of disease with me. Ministry of Healing, page 235. Nature bears much abuse without apparent resistance. She, nature, then arouses and makes a determined effort to remove the effects of the ill treatment she has suffered. Her effort to correct those conditions is often manifest in fever and various other forms of sickness. What is fever and these other various forms of sickness? It is nature's effort to correct those conditions that are the consequence of transgression of the laws of health. Fever, for instance. Think with me a moment in practical terms regarding fever. When the body temperature is elevated, what is the body trying to do? It is trying to fight some kind of foreign substance in the bloodstream, typically. Viruses. It can be proven that the white cell blood count is elevated when the body's temperature is elevated. What's the body trying to do? Put out more little soldiers to deal with the problem that our disobedience has brought on. Also, the pulse is quickened with a fever, and that blood with its elevated number of white blood cells is rushed more quickly to where it's needed. So then fever, in a sense, is what? It's good, isn't it? It's trying to deal with the wrong conditions that are the consequence of disobedience. Here is a definition for disease that is worth its weight in gold, and I want to share it with you. I had the privilege for several years of working at the Total Health Foundation in Yakima, Washington, a center for lifestyle reorientation, where we dealt with primarily degenerative diseases, particularly cardiovascular diseases, atherosclerosis. And I was chaplain and health educator at that institution for 3 years and worked with a doctor there. And I can remember him saying many times, as he would talk with our patients and lecture them, he would take the book Ministry of Healing in hand and say, "Friends, I would be happy to give the book's weight in gold for this one statement. This has been more meaningful and helpful to me in understanding what my profession is supposed to be dealing with than anything else I have ever been exposed to or told." What was so precious about this definition? Listen. Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health. Do you see then why we were so bold as to suggest that disease is not the enemy but the friend? What is disease? It's an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health. Now,
Please listen. If we refuse to cooperate with nature's efforts and continue to violate the laws of health, disease gets out of hand and it can cause our what? Our death. But if we cooperate with nature's efforts, disease will be that which brings us back to health. Interesting concept, isn't it? Not one that we typically have when we think of disease. Now, note carefully with me 7 stages in the disease process. We have 3 of them in this single sentence here. What is the initial cause of the disease process? In light of this statement, what is it? Violation of the laws of health. 7 stages in the disease process. Stage 1 then is violation of the laws of health. What happens as a result of this violation? There are wrong conditions. Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions, wrong conditions, that result from a violation of the laws of health. Wrong conditions, and then stage 3, pathological changes, or in other words, the disease process begins. The disease itself is established. Now, what I'd like to do with you is consider the most prevalent disease, the number one killer in society today, in light of these 7 stages of the disease process. It is fascinating to consider how atherosclerosis develops through these 7 stages of the disease process. But before we do that, I want to give you a little background information on atherosclerosis. Atherosclerosis is epidemic in our modern Western cultures. In third world primitive cultures, it is virtually unknown, except amongst that class of people that enjoy a, quote, high living standard, end quote. I put that in quotes because our good life is killing us. Atherosclerosis is responsible for over 50% of the deaths that are taking the human race. The plague of infectious diseases that used to be responsible for 50% of human deaths, because of improved sanitation, has been now made responsible for only 2% of human deaths. But before we pat ourselves on the back too strongly, let's recognize that all the advantages we've gained over infectious diseases have been lost in the area of degenerative diseases. Atherosclerosis is a disease of the circulatory system. That's why it is so devastating, and that's why it is so, it manifests itself in so many different ways. As the servant of the Lord tells us, perfect health depends on perfect circulation. If we do not take care of our circulatory system, it cannot take care of us. It cannot preserve our health. Degenerative diseases are directly related to deterioration in blood quality and circulation. May I suggest to you that the psalmist was saying something very relevant to this degenerative disease when he said, "Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We typically apply that only spiritually, and it certainly does have a spiritual application. But doesn't it have a practical physical application as well? I think so. If the heart, which is that organ that gets that blood supply that is so vital to our health and well-being, is not functioning properly, we are in big trouble. It's got a long ways to pump all that blood. Do you realize that there are approximately 60,000 miles of blood vessels in your body? 60,000 miles. And these blood vessels must take oxygen and nutrients to the over 100 trillion cells that make up your body. Each cell is in almost immediate proximity to a blood vessel. It has to be, for it has got to get those oxygen and those nutrients in order to survive, and it also has to be able to unload, to get rid of the waste products that are the result of cellular metabolism. Atherosclerosis damages the circulatory system. And because of this, it manifests itself in many different ways. The most typical way it manifests itself is through heart attack, or the more technical term, a myocardial infarction. This is where a portion of the muscle wall of the heart is starved for oxygen, and it quits working. If it's a sufficiently large portion of the heart wall, life ceases. If it is a small portion, one can survive. Strokes, cerebral vascular infarctions, are another symptom or manifestation of the atherosclerosis process. Strokes are responsible for many, many deaths, or perhaps paralysis if one survives. If the arteries in the legs or in the limbs are blocked, then we have what is called intermittent claudication, where there is extreme pain due to an inadequate supply of oxygenated blood to the muscle tissue. It's interesting that senility has been associated with atherosclerosis as well. Why is that? May I suggest to you that senility is not a necessary component of old age? Moses, when he climbed Mount Horeb to die, his eyes were clear, his mind was clear, and his stamina was strong. He got up that mountain. Senility has been linked with a blocking of what's called the carotid arteries that supply the brain with blood. If there is a limited or hindered supply of blood to the brain, it cannot do its job adequately, and senility is a consequence. These are just some of the manifestations of atherosclerosis. I'd like to consider with you atherosclerosis, though, in light of these seven stages of the disease process. Stage one, a violation of the laws of health. There are several wrong habits that have been identified as key factors in the disease process of atherosclerosis. Several. But I want to deal with just one for the sake of simplifying our illustration. That is wrong dietary. Specifically, high fat intake. The average American eats 40% fat. His caloric intake is composed of 40% fat. That is way more than God intended us to be eating. God did not equip the digestive process to handle that much fat because he never intended us to eat that much fat. So we have violated a law of our physical being. And what is the result? Because the digestive system can't handle that much fat, it dumps an inordinate amount of fat into the blood stream. This is present in what is called chylomicrons, tiny little microscopic fat particles. And what effect does this have on the blood? It's very interesting. When we have violated the laws of health, there is a wrong condition that results. These chylomicrons in the bloodstream cause the red blood cells to become sticky. It's called agglutination. And these red blood cells tend to stack together in what's called a rouleau formation. You know, a red blood cell is a little disc. And its purpose is to carry what? To the waiting cells throughout the body, those 100 trillion cells. To carry oxygen, right? And where does it carry oxygen? On its surface. It picks it up from the lungs. But when these chylomicrons are present in the bloodstream, these little discs become sticky and they stack up together. Now, if you have, and there are often under a microscope, have been observed 14, 15, 20 of them all stacked together. Now, when you have these little blood cells all stacked together, say 14 of them, can you see how their oxygen-carrying capacity is significantly reduced? How many sides are there supposed to be to carry oxygen if you have 14 cells? 28, right? But if you've got 14 of them all stuck together, how many sides do you have to carry oxygen? 2 plus the edges. So their oxygen-carrying capacity is significantly reduced, isn't it? Not only do they carry less oxygen, but they can't carry it as far. Why? The finest vessels called capillaries of your vascular system are so small in diameter that one blood vessel, one blood cell, red blood cell, has to kind of squeeze and push itself through. I like to think of this, and I grant you these are not medical or technological terms, but I like to think of this as necessary in order to squeeze all the oxygen and nutrients out of it that it's carrying to those cells that are waiting around it. One cell has to squeeze to get through the capillaries. Now here you've got 14 of them coming along. What's going to happen? It's going to get blocked, isn't it? It's not carrying as much oxygen, and it cannot carry it as far. So there is an oxygen deficiency in the cell tissue. This is called an ischemic condition. It's a wrong condition. So, what does the body do? Very fascinating. And what I'm sharing with you is most definitely in layman's terms, because I am a layman. But what I'm sharing with you is what I had the privilege of studying on a visit down to the Longevity Institute, back when it was in Santa Barbara, California. Nathan Pertikan's Longevity Institute, have any of you heard of that? And I listened to Nathan Pertikan lecture on this disease process called atherosclerosis. He explained it this way. The blood vessel itself has an inner lining called the intima. It's only one cell thick. Very fine inner lining. Now, when there is an oxygen deficiency in the blood tissue around that blood vessel, the intima evidently becomes more porous in an effort to get more oxygen out of that blood. It's not getting sufficient, so it opens up. What is disease? It's an effort of nature to what? It's an effort of nature to free the system from wrong conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health. Okay, so the intima opens up, it becomes more porous. But what happens? All of these little chylomicrons that are flowing in the blood tend to get lodged in those little pores. And what do we have here? We have the beginning of what is called a plaque or an atheroma. Now, if we ceased to violate the laws of health, that condition would be removed. How? Stage 2 of the disease process. The media, the next layer of the artery, has cells that, by God's marvelous design, go out and try to dispose of these little pockets of fat substance. They actually eat it up. They actually engulf it. But if we continue to violate the laws of health, they continue to do their best to clean up the mess, but they self-destruct in the process. Now, what happens is that you've got a mass of fatty substance here and self-destroyed self-destructed cells from the media that continue to build up this plaque, this atheroma, until finally stage four comes about. The plaque is so large that it can actually be identified through careful medical tests. But please note, can you read that? By the time we can see the disease process, it is 50% on its way towards closing the artery. I repeat, by the time the disease process can be seen by the most advanced medical technological equipment, it's 50% on its way. It can be seen through an EKG treadmill stress test, where the heart is monitored and the heartbeats are identified as being irregular. It can also be measured through what's called an angiogram. But by the time you can spot it, the disease process is 50% on its way. You know, we often think that we are well until we feel bad. Is that the case? Look at the next stage. Symptoms. Symptoms. In the case of atherosclerosis, before you even feel anything, please note, before you feel anything as far as symptoms are concerned, the disease process of atherosclerosis has advanced to 70 to 80% blockage of your vessels. This is before you feel the slightest symptom. It's already 70 to 80% closed. Listen to the way inspiration puts this phenomena, and this is true with disease in a general sense, not just atherosclerosis. It is far advanced, brothers and sisters, before we feel it. Far advanced. Please take that seriously and think on that. Ministry of Healing, page 235. When the abuse of health is carried so far that sickness results, the sufferer can often do for himself what no one else can do for him. The first thing to be done is to ascertain the true character of the sickness and then go to work intelligently to remove the cause. What's the cause? Disobedience. But what is our typical approach when we're having to put up with symptoms? Do we go to work intelligently to remove the cause? No, we go to work to find relief from the what? The symptoms. We go to work to find relief from the symptoms. Now, stage six, attack. This is when the poor physical organism, because of abuse, simply cannot hold up any longer, and there is a critical stage of the disease process. In the case of atherosclerosis, before there is an attack, there is a 90 to 100% obstruction of the arteries, typically. 90 to 100% obstruction. And what is stage seven? Death. Healthful Living, page 24. Proportionately as nature's laws are transgressed, physical suffering of every type is seen. Suffering must follow this course of action. The vital force of the system cannot bear up under the tax placed upon it, and it finally breaks down. It finally breaks down. What do we have here? May I suggest to you that we have here the medical amplified version of Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is what? Death. That's all we have. The medical amplified version of Romans 6, 23. In other words, the stiffening of the neck in rebellion against the laws of God leads to the stiffening of the body in rigor mortis. That's putting it bluntly. But brothers and sisters, we have to recognize that rebellion is the cause of disease and death. Christ Object Lessons, page 84. God destroys no man. Everyone who is destroyed will have destroyed himself. He will have destroyed himself. Looking at these seven stages of the disease process, where is most of the attention and focus and money spent in modern medicine today? Where is it spent? 5 and 6. There's a lot of money spent down here, too. The undertaker requires his share. But where most of the money is spent is 5 and 6, and 4 as well. Where is the least money spent? Health education. It's tragic, but it's true. I'd like to study and try to find out sometime the ratio between dollars spent in health education to help people cease to violate the laws of health. Compare the dollars spent there with the dollars spent down here in acute care medicine. Oh, brothers and sisters, where is our money best spent? What's the old saying? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And believe me, prevention is much cheaper than cure. Ask anyone who's had to have open heart surgery. Ministry of Healing, page 128. Too little attention is generally given to the preservation of health. It is far better to prevent disease than to know how to treat it when contracted. It is the duty of every person for his own sake and for the sake of humanity to inform himself in regard to the laws of life and conscientiously to obey them. But the problem is, this requires lifestyle changes, doesn't it? And most people aren't willing to do that. They want to go right on sowing to the flesh, but they don't want to have to reap. Can you do that? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Unfortunately, modern medicine is in the business of trying to put off the reaping and trying to make it painless. But brothers and sisters, how much better for us to put our efforts and our attention into trying to prevent disease by learning to live in harmony with the laws of our being. I want to close with a poem that sums up the wisdom of the proverb, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. The title of the poem is The Fence or the Ambulance. Listen. 'Twas a dangerous cliff, as they freely confessed, though to walk near its crest was so pleasant, but over its terrible edge there had slipped a duke and many a peasant. So the people said something would have to be done, but their projects did not at all tally. Some said, put a fence round the edge of the cliff. Some, an ambulance down in the valley. But the cry for the ambulance carried the day, for it spread to the neighboring city. A fence may be useful enough, it is sure, but each heart became brim full of pity for those who had slipped o'er that dangerous cliff. And the dwellers in highway and alley gave pounds and gave pence, not to put up a fence, but an ambulance down in the valley. For the cliff is all right if you're careful, they said. And if folks even slip or are dropping, it isn't the slipping that hurts them so much as the shock down below when they're stopping. So day after day, when these mishaps occurred, quick forth would the rescuers sally to pick up the victims who fell off the cliff with their ambulance down in the valley. Then an old man remarked, It is a marvel to me that people give far more attention to repairing results than to stopping the cause, when they'd much better aim at prevention. "Let us stop at its source, all this mischief," cried he. "Come, neighbors and friends, let us rally. If the cliff we will fence, we might almost dispense with the ambulance down in the valley." "Oh, he's a fanatic," the others rejoined. "Dispense with the ambulance? Never! He'd dispense with all charities, too, if he could. No, no, we'll support them forever. Aren't we picking up folks just as fast as they fall? And shall this man dictate to us? Shall he? Why should people of sense stop to put up a fence while the ambulance works in the valley?" Thus this story so old has beautifully told how our people with best of intentions have wasted their years and lavished their tears on treatment with not for prevention. But a sensible few, who are practical too, will not bear with such nonsense much longer. They believe that prevention is better than cure, and their party will soon be the stronger. Encourage them then with your purse, voice, and pen, and while other philanthropists dally, they will scorn all pretense and put up a stout fence on the cliff that hangs over the valley. Brothers and sisters, that is precisely what we as a people were called to do. Put up a fence that hangs over the valley. That was the unique and special message that we were given to share with the world. Have we fulfilled our mission? I fear we have miserably failed. God forgive us, but things can change. Do you want to commit yourself with me to giving personal attention, becoming personally intelligent with how we can live in harmony with the laws of our being and thereby avoid all of the following steps? You see, if you remove the cause, will you experience any of the effects? Absolutely not. Will you covenant with me then to become personally intelligent regarding the laws of your physical being and how you can live in harmony with them? That you might experience optimum personal health yourself, and then that you might be a help to your neighbors and friends in finding tactful and loving ways to encourage them to come back into harmony with the laws of their being, that they too might enjoy optimum personal health. Oh, may God help us share our precious, precious health message with others. But brothers and sisters, we'll never be able to do so until we recognize its preciousness ourselves. Will you eagerly share and successfully sell to someone else that which you are not very pleased with yourself? No, never. Oh, may the Lord help us to experience firsthand the tremendous personal advantages and benefits to our whole being, physical as well as mental and spiritual, through a lifestyle that is in harmony with God's law, that we might be inspired and enthusiastic in our efforts to share that message with others. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the clear counsel in your word. I thank you for the remarkable definition of the disease process. I pray, Lord, that instead of abusing nature and causing its best attempts to get us back to health, to be the means by which we die, help us to learn to cooperate with nature, that you, the master physician, working through our physical organism, can restore us to optimum personal health. And so that we then can go with the message that's made a difference in our lives and share that message with others. God, forgive us for our failures in the past. Help us to make changes. Help us to be a people that will put up a stout fence at the top of the cliff this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.